Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come
aboard. Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour space station social. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Fargo to Orlando, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. We appreciate it. We have made it through another week of the winter, one step closer to spring, to March, to the tourney. This morning here on the DA Show, as always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Boy, today for a Friday, we are absolutely loaded. I love this. What a show lineup coming up for you this morning. Our first guest, renowned in DA Show history, because she tried her very best to give Jacob Wilkins and producer Shep a makeover. You remember Extreme Jakeover? Our pearl of wisdom there was Lisa Ramos, model, influencer, and now part of Bill's Mafia. If you are one of her followers on social media, you saw all of the sights and sounds behind the scenes as she is dating one of the players on the Bills. You saw all the sights and scenes of a miraculous run that turned around the franchise and went all the way to the AFC Championship games. We'll talk to Lisa about a wonderful Cinderella story in Buffalo of the Bills, finally putting it back together. She's going to join us coming up here at the top of hour number three, so 2 hours from now. Also in Chicago, this is getting exciting, is it not? Russell Wilson may have targeted the Bears, of all places, as one of his four preferred destinations if, should he get traded. Layla Rahimi is going to join us from the Chicago sports radio powerhouse, The Score. She's always awesome. She's joined us in the past. She is the voice that you hear on the rejoins that calls Mraz a pop culture phenomenon. Also, in hour number four, what is going on with the Celtics? Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, is going to be hanging on every word of our friend Adam Kaufman from WBZ in Boston and a Boston Celtics insider. He's going to join us coming up here in hour number four to go back over what is going on in Celtics land. So all of this coming up this morning on the show, just from a guest standpoint. It's awesome. Great show lined up for you. Also, Sark gets paid and his assistants do in Austin. Can they live up to the money? That's coming up this hour. Deshaun Watson speaks to his new head coach and still Not good news in Houston. We'll do that next hour. We'll also talk about the NCAA tournament as they've got a backup plan set up in case teams can't compete due to COVID. Will the backup plan work? That's also coming up. And it's a Target Demo Friday, so we are just loaded this morning on the show. Very exciting stuff here aboard the mothership. Any of those topics you want to jump in on, let's do it. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Now, I mentioned this Russell Wilson story. Ho, mama. Because yesterday, The Athletic published a piece that went inside what specifically the issues are and the timeline between Russell Wilson and his frustration with the organization, and perhaps vice versa as well. So I want to give you my thoughts having read through this article last night. What the article, what the piece publishes and details is that Russell Wilson was going through a frustrating time last year when the Seahawks offense had stagnated and Russell Wilson and the Seahawks had lost two games in a row. And in those two games, Wilson had accounted for 7 turnovers. Pete Carroll hammers home, don't turn the football over, accountability, save possessions. If we give it away, we will lose. And Pete Carroll is there looking at Russell Wilson asking, you know you can't turn the football over. Why would you do that? Why would you make those types of decisions? Why would you be so sloppy with the football 7 times in 2 games? You know what we work on. This is where Russell Wilson wanted more say in the offense. Let us open it up. Let me take chances. And this is the break point where Pete Carroll says, you're taking chances and you're blowing the chances and losing games for us. And this is supposedly the fork in the road for these two parties. That over the years, Russell Wilson has been consumed by leaving a legacy. He's been consumed by being considered one of the greats. He compares himself and wants to be in the company constantly of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Drew Brees. And so now the urgency's continuing to ratchet up about him not getting back even to an NFC Championship game since 2014. And the Seahawks, led by Pete Carroll's thinking, are not about taking a ton of chances. They want to run the football to set up the pass, and they don't want the quarterback to be taking tons of chances downfield. The way the Seahawks have looked at it is that they have supported Russell Wilson quite a bit, even if they have not drafted and developed a great offensive line earlier in his career. They have felt as though they've paid him a ton of money. They've ultimately put the franchise in his hands, and he needs to be able to follow suit with playing responsible football. So the truth, as always, lies somewhere in between. And reading through the piece gave me a couple of thoughts that cemented many of my previous thoughts, but gave me some new ones as well. So does Seattle, if Russell Wilson is going public about how he wants more say, how he wants to be sacked less, how he is apparently with his agent addressed 4 specific teams that if he gets traded to are his preferred destinations, are we at the point where this thing is broken in Seattle and the Seahawks have to trade Russ? It is where we begin. Cold open.
As of right now, it does not seem realistic. It seems more like a rift, something that's very real, a relationship that absolutely has to be repaired between the Seahawks brass and Russell Wilson. But as far as a trade, is Seattle a team that is really ready to contend, able to deal with a $40 million cap hit for trading Russell Wilson? And Pete Carroll is 70 years old. Is he really going to rebuild unless there's some sort of replacement for Russell Wilson? That's why this seems a little far-fetched. That being said, teams are calling. From what I understand, more than 10 teams have called Seattle about Russell Wilson. There hasn't been much engagement. It's not like Seattle has been weighing offers, but at least teams are still calling. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson has not requested a trade, but has made it known that if someone wanted to trade for him, there are only a couple places he would go, including Chicago, who needs a quarterback, and the Saints, who need a quarterback.
amazing, sensational, dramatic, Mark Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That audio is courtesy of Ian Rappaport and NFL Network. Those four teams, you heard him mention the Saints, no Drew Brees, the Chicago Bears, the Raiders, and the Cowboys. So as Rapp just mentioned there, just because 10 teams have reached out to Seattle about trading for Russell Wilson doesn't mean there's a trade imminent. And I don't think this thing is broken, okay, beyond repair. I think what ends up happening here is that Russell Wilson is consumed with his image and consumed with a legacy and consumed with getting those MVP awards and Super Bowls, and that's fine. But it has led to me, to Russell Wilson, it seems, having an inflated sense of what he can be and what he can do and how he's going to get there. Here's what I mean. Is Russell Wilson great? Obviously, he's great. Obviously, he's one of the top quarterbacks of the NFL. However, he wants an offense like Patrick Mahomes runs in Kansas City. Or he wants full control over the roster like Brady has in Tampa Bay. And the fact is, he hasn't earned either one of those types of benefits. He's not Patrick Mahomes. I'm sorry. Russell Wilson's greatest abilities are very obviously tied to him when a play breaks down, being able to work on the run, improvise, and create big plays. And yes, his deep throw is a thing of beauty as well. But in terms of being able to completely control the chessboard of the NFL's defenses, Russ does not have that short to intermediary passing thing down the way that Patrick Mahomes does. Mahomes is already an MVP and a Super Bowl MVP in his first 3 years in the NFL as a starter and has gone to consecutive Super Bowls. You know, let's face it. When Russ did that, the strength of his team was absolutely the defense. That's not the case in Kansas City. Russ wasn't the MVP in 2013 or 2014. Also, control over the roster. Tom Brady's freaking Tom Brady. And even Brady didn't have that in New England. So Russell Wilson wants something that Tom Brady has had after winning 6 championships, 20 years of the NFL, and something that he couldn't attain with the Patriots where he won all the championships. Again, this is, to me, it's immaterial for Russell Wilson to want these things. He's not there. Those situations aren't the same. Now, the flip side is, I think that Pete Carroll can be stubborn. And Pete Carroll's 70. He's done it a certain way his entire career, and I don't feel like he's that flexible these years at this point in his career. He knows what he likes, he knows what works for him, and he wants to keep to it. So let's make sure we still run the football. Let's make sure we don't turn the football over. Those are old tenets in the NFL. We know this. We've heard this for generations. So I do think there is a way that these two can come together, and it starts probably with the old guy who's got the wisdom coming to the young guy and saying, okay, let's work together here. What works for you in the offense? Here's what works for me. Let's be open-minded here. Let's work together to make a solution. But your best chance to win is right here. We win 10 to 12 games every single year. We have consistently been in the playoffs almost every year you've been here. We do spend money. We just traded for Jamal Adams. We just had Dwayne Brown a couple of seasons ago as a Pro Bowl offensive lineman come here. We've drafted DK Metcalf. We've let you throw deep the first half of the season. In fact, all of last season. You were an MVP front runner through 8 games last year. We're not far off here, Russ. Let's come together. Let's find a solution together instead of apart. And that's, I think there has to be a middle ground here. But Russell Wilson, to me, is becoming too emboldened with what he thinks they're not doing for him. I don't think that should be his conversation. Yeah, there's a way to come together. But Russ, you're not going to get something that it took Tom Brady 20 years to get. You're also not going to get something that doesn't behoove you. Let's face it, if you put Russell Wilson in the Chiefs offense, it's still not as good as what it is with Patrick Mahomes. They're different quarterbacks. Russell wants to throw 50 times a game. I got news for you. You don't have the weapons to do that in Seattle, and you're not a good enough quarterback to do that in Seattle. It's just the fact of the matter. Like, if Russ wants what Tom Brady has, Russ should also realize that Tom Brady had a great run game this year support him and a great defense support him. Brady wasn't throwing 50 times. The Super Bowl doesn't happen just because Tom Brady brings in A, B, and Gronk. The Super Bowl happens because Devin White and Levante David and Shaq Barrett are terrors. It happens because they already had Mike Evans, they already had Chris Godwin, and they had Donald Jones and brought in off a scrap heap Leonard Fournette. I mean, is Russ ignoring the fact that the Buccaneers' run game was a huge part of the success of them in the playoffs? Did that just go over his head? Yeah, the fact is, Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw 7 interceptions in 2 games. And if he did, Andy Reid would be PO'd. So I think there's an element of delusion in Russ. And I think Russ has wide eyes for celebrity and wide eyes for legacy and wide eyes for winning. And I think that sometimes throws him off the scent of what's real. And we oftentimes joke and clown about his sound bites here. Unlimited. Mr. Unlimited. And there is something that is kind of artificial and inflated about, I think, his sense of what reality is. The reality is, if you go somewhere else, like let's say you go to Chicago, you want to be traded to Chicago. Do you think that offense is better set up for you to win? They're going to let Allen Robinson walk, so where's their DK Metcalf? Do they run the football effectively to you? Do you see that with them? Do you see a play caller that's opening things up and has found a way to unlock their quarterbacks? Really? Like, he wants to go to Dallas. Okay, they got a lot of wide receivers. Do you really believe Mike McCarthy's offense is the key to you suddenly winning Super Bowls again? The Raiders. Again. What exactly are you seeing from a Raiders standpoint where you're like, that gives me a way better chance to win MVPs in Super Bowls? I just think that Russ gets delusional and the Seahawks get frustrated with this and Pete Carroll's a little stubborn and then they're not on the same page and it's not that far apart to get back to reality. Back to life, back to reality. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Plenty more on the Seahawks and the Russell Wilson situation. That's the big story from yesterday's NFL and sports landscape. Big day also because Mraz is back off of his vacay, so he made it home safely and soundly despite having to somehow deal with a one-year-old on a plane both ways during a pandemic. Yikes. We'll address that as well. But when we come back, your sound check, your best audio of the day. And we'll hear from Bryce Harper as he enters spring training and is once again puckering up to Phillies fans. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And remember that you can listen to the DA show in podcast form. That's right. Listen to us whenever you want, wherever you want. It's DA On Demand. Simply go to your favorite podcast platform, search the DA show. Find full episodes there or the very best of every single day, plus the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show. Just search the DA show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Well, it's a different season in Philadelphia, that's for sure. The 76ers went from underachievers, a lot of chemistry issues, to the number one seed of the East last night, a 111-97 victory over the Dallas Mavericks. What's different this year versus last? Here's Ben Simmons.
I think just the chemistry, along with, you know, Doc's come in and you know, he's holding people accountable, which is huge, you know. Every night, guys are showing up. You know, we know what it takes to win that championship. You know, we have a lot of vets who have come in and just won, Danny and Dwight. And we want to win, man. We want to win. We're doing everything we can to win. You know, guys are making sacrifices. Guys are out there playing hard. So, you know, we know what we want to do.
Well, that's pretty clear. That audio courtesy of TNT. Pretty clear that the coach was a huge piece of this puzzle. And I think that sometimes the NBA, we overlook the impact of a coach because we've been told it's such a players' league for so long. But let's face it. Brett Brown did not have the respect that Doc Rivers does inside that locker room, and it happened for Doc immediately. Brett Brown was a pushover. Brett Brown was a guy that they would walk all over. Brett Brown was just not Doc Rivers from a personality standpoint nor an accomplishment standpoint. And when it came to fitting the pieces together, Brett Brown was there during the process. He was there when they drafted all of those guys. But he had never been a head coach of a winner, and he's also not a fiery personality. So those guys, I think, didn't have the right structure, accountability, and discipline to work together. Doc's been through it all. Doc's coached for a million years. Doc played at a high level in this league with a lot of crazy teammates as well. Doc also has a championship. Doc has coached great players. He's seen what it takes to get these guys to the same page. And then Daryl Morey coming in, making a few different changes to the chemistry, getting Al Horford out of there, bringing in a guy like Danny Green. Those help big time. And let's face it, what it's proven is the Sixers had the talent. The Sixers had the players. The Sixers just didn't have the right leadership, and a few tinkerings to the roster has made them the best team in the East. That was quick. Here is Bryce Harper. We have made fun of Bryce many times in the past because he has just bent over backwards to lather it on for Philly fans. It's been, you know, so forced at times. And here he is doing it again as he's talking about World Series as he enters spring training.
I hate being home for Halloween, I can tell you that. The town needs it. I mean, the city of Philadelphia, they deserve it. They need it. We're a team that can hopefully do that for them. That can give that to them. They deserve to be in the stands, in October. And I know they're wanting to do that.
They deserve it. They need it. By my watch, the Phillies won a World Series a little over a decade ago. And deserve it. Need it. They just won a Super Bowl like 10 minutes ago. Need it. Deserve it. I think there's a couple of other teams that might need it or deserve it more. I'm thinking about like the Cleveland Indians. They haven't won a World Series since 1948. Talk about needing it and deserving it. How about the Padres have never won a World Series? Need it. Deserve it. Gotta have it. The Mariners haven't made the playoffs in 20 years. Have never won a World Series. Phillies need it. Deserve it. I mean, let's get real here. You know, the Pirates, they spend like 10 bucks on their roster every year. One of the oldest, most historic franchises and fan bases we have. Phillies need it. Deserve it. I mean, this started in spring training of his first year using the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's walk-up song, having the Philly fanatic on his cleats, wearing a gritty mascot t-shirt, serenading the fans at opening day in right field. He has tried everything, and you can tell the talking points. Okay, how do I go into the season and have people not mad at me because he's there for another, what, 11 years? As we said at the time, that's not going to age well. That contract, not going to age well. And finally, here's Frank Reich, who's excited about his former assistant coach, Nick Sirianni. Going to be smart, going to have strategy, going to be smart guys, not dumb guys. We like strategies around here as the new head coach in Philly.
I wish him the best of luck. I'm excited about the staff he's put together. I'm excited about the opportunity he has in front of him with a great organization there. So wish them nothing, Nick and the Eagles, nothing but the best of success.
We think they're going to be smart guys, not dumb guys. We're not sure, though. Nick Sirianni kind of sounded kind of dumb at his press conference. How about earlier in the week, Dan Dockich saying that he doesn't get where all this love, and Dockich is an Indianapolis sports talk host, he doesn't get all the love for Frank Reich. He's like, he's lost as many games as he's won around here. He's been responsible for losing a lot of games. He was part of the reason they lost in Buffalo in the wild card round. Wow. Not everybody loves Frank Reich as much as the national media seems to. I like him because he looks like Scott Bakula. Quantum Leap, Indianapolis. And that is your sound check. Can hit us up on the Twitter, DA on CBS, on this fine Friday. Mraz is back from his Florida sojourn. Mraz, welcome back.
Hello, how is everyone? You guys look great.
We're doing good. You got some sun, huh? You were at the beach. It was sunny weather down there for a couple of days.
Yeah. About 21 hours ago, I was taking a nice dip, swimming some laps in a pool, and now I'm here with a space heater again next to me. So things have changed real quick.
But you're still living that Florida life. Is that a Tampa Bay Vipers t-shirt I see?
It is, DA. And when you walk through an airport and you see the discount rack next to all the Bucs Super Bowl gear, and they have Tampa Bay Vipers gear, how do you not make that purchase?
At first, I thought that was an energy drink t-shirt. It's
most of the XFL gear does look like that.
Fluorescent green and black and a big V. I'm thinking that's like Victory Aid.
Yeah, $6.99. Can't beat it. Best deal in the airport.
Is everybody all about the Bucs down there these days?
It is unbelievable. I drove basically from 2 hours south to an hour north of Tampa, and you can't go anywhere without trucks just waving Buck flags, hanging out of windows and buildings. The Bucs and Brady almost gave Tampa like a college feel, if you will. Mm. That's the way it felt. I've obviously traveled a lot, seen a lot of love for NFL teams. I mean, obsessive. It's too much. And what really makes me sick, people out of their houses flying flags that don't say Bucs, but actually like Brady jersey flags with the 12 Brady. Oof. It's gotten to be a bit much down there. It was too much.
Did you ask them where they were during the Dirk Cutter years?
I didn't. I let them have their moments. Okay. They could all wave their flags, enjoy their time, much like Bryce Harper. I mean, it's only been since 2002. Nobody deserves a Super Bowl quite like the Bucs.
Yeah, last year they were 7-9. Nobody even watched a Bucs game. This year they're waving flags. Yeah. They're all over the place. Yeah, and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, enough with the Tampa Bay. Those murals are everywhere, too. Newsflash, the Rays didn't win the World Series. We can stop including a Rosarino with his hands around Brady now.
Okay, so what about the Bolts? Any Lightning love down there? They're Stanley Cup champs.
Of course. The Lightning, Tampa is a very weird,
sneaky good hockey town.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the Buck stuff is very fresh, so obviously that was very overwhelming. But, of course, I mean, license plates with the Lightning logo on there, all the little tiki bars at, you know, the resorts I was at the last 2 days. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without it being like Lightning first, hockey being shown everywhere. So they love the Lightning. And also an odd amount of Tampa Bay Rays hats walking around. I thought nobody liked the Rays.
Okay.
And I got to talk to a couple locals. They seem to like the Rays down there. The problem, of course, is that they play in a dump and nobody wants to sit inside. So they'd rather sit outside by their pools and their beaches and watch the games outside and not be going into the trop.
Totally get that as well. Yeah, Tampa Bay is a sneaky, really good hockey town. For all of the Sun Belt expansion that the NHL did, Tampa Bay, it really took. They do a great job supporting the Lightning down there. All right, cool. Good to have you back. Andrew Bogish is a kind sir. He has our first Friday morning headlines. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. So Russell Wilson is the other quarterback involved in trade rumors right now. Deshaun Watson, the original, and he reportedly met last Friday with new Texans head coach David Culley. And unfortunately for new Texans head coach David Culley, Watson said he still wants out of Houston. However, the Texans said to be ignoring trade calls for now. Pending free agent Chris Godwin said yesterday he, of course, wants long-term security, but he'll play on the franchise tag if that's what it'll take to remain a Buccaneer for the coming season.
They might have
and Ravens tackle, well, don't forget, too, they've got to do something with Shaq Barrett. So between two guys, you'd think one gets tagged, one gets a long-term deal.
They're not giving Godwin the long-term deal over Shaq Barrett. They might not even franchise Godwin, but that's far more likely if they want to hang on to Godwin than a long-term deal. He ain't getting that because Barrett's, but they might not be able to really afford Barrett if somebody really breaks the bank on him. But I think that Bruce Arians thinks that he can win a Super Bowl with anybody at wide receiver. I think he just thinks, we'll develop the next guy.
Ravens tackle Orlando Brown's camp is reportedly looking for trade partners. The Ravens, of course, are aware of this. They would like to keep Brown, but reportedly listen to any offers that pop up. Brown wants to play left tackle somewhere, but would go back to the right side in Baltimore once Ronnie Stanley is healthy.
Did you catch, because Jason Lockenfour had that report 3 weeks ago, did you catch Lockenfour yesterday going after Jeremy Fowler on Twitter?
No, I didn't see that. What did he say?
So Fowler tweeted this story about, hey, Orlando Brown's camp's going to be looking for a trade. And Lockenfour quote tweeted, yeah, had this 3 weeks ago. Thanks for the credit. I love when reporters get all angry over who had stuff first.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, catty NFL free agency offseason's good.
Because at least the Athletic gave Lockenfour a lot of love in their Russell Wilson story. They had him in and out of the idea of Russ being traded and who they've talked about and who was suggested.
Twice in that article. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had a big day yesterday. last night in Denver, the Nuggets should have at least forced OT with the Wizards.
Left wing, Neto, left elbow tries, flips up the shot, no battle for the rebound, popcorn around, and coming up with it, Jamal Murray, 112-110. Nuggets trail, right wing outside the arc, Campazzo for three, off the rim, buzzer sounds, Wizards win! Wizards
Dave
win!
Dave Johnson on Wizards Radio, he didn't do that justice. Denver had a 4-on-1 fast break in the final seconds. But Jamal Murray's three options all ran to the three-point line. No one went to the rim for the easy tying lay-in, so they lose. Here's their head coach, Michael Malone.
We had a layup. You know, it's a 3-on-1 break. You know, all Michael Porter's got to do is cut to the basket. All Jamal Murray's got to do is push the ball and attack. But we didn't get that. We got a Faku three, and obviously it didn't go in.
And they lose 112-110. They have taken 6 of 7. By the way, he didn't curse there. The guy that took the shot is named Faku Campazzo. So it's a dicey name, especially when you're putting it in an angry sentence.
I'm not trying.
But it was not a curse. That was just the gentleman's name that missed the three-pointer.
Pete just dumped
the Nets,
you.
I'm sure he did.
Twice.
But if I did actually curse, he wouldn't dump me. The Nets win streak is 8 after a 129-92 rout of the Magic. 47 combined points for Kyrie Irving and James Harden. The Bucks outscored the Pelicans 129-125 for a 4-game win streak. The Grizz took care of the Clippers 122-94. The Sixers 111, the Mavs 97. And the Knicks dumped the Kings 140-121. That's 9 consecutive losses for Sacramento.
Andrew.
Tiger Woods. Hey, Ames. Tiger Woods is now at Cedars-Sinai Hospital to continue recovering from his car accident. An update on his condition was not given yesterday when announcing the hospital change. On the course yesterday, Webb Simpson and Matthew Fitzpatrick started the WGC Workday Championship with a 6-under-66. Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau opening with 5-over-77s. College Hoops. Top ranked Gonzaga dropped Santa Clara 89-75. Number 3 Michigan handled number 9 Iowa 79-57. And 5th ranked Illinois beat Nebraska 86-70. But number 4 Ohio State losing at Michigan State 71-67. And from the NHL, the Oilers on a 5-game win streak after a 3-0 win in Vancouver. The Jets beat the Canadiens 6-3. And the Panthers scored 3 times in 3-plus minutes late in the third to stun the Stars 3-2. DA, back to you.
Thank you, AB. You know what they say about Big Ten basketball. Kind of like Rambo 2, just day by day, you know?
It's the best way to put it.
I need more Rothstein. It's like... Rothstein's college basketball spot this week was just ridiculous. Every part of it was ridiculous. I couldn't concentrate on what he was saying about college basketball because he just kept dropping references that were older than my references.
You know, DA, we're like Stallone and Rambo 2. We're day by day.
like you're going to drop a Rambo 2 reference in the middle of this? Not even the best Rambo. Okay. So more college basketball as we make our way through the next couple of days, because when we come back on Monday, it's March 1. March 1 already, which is amazing. But when we return, college football, the UT staff gets paid, Steve Sarkisian's staff. And wait till you hear some of the numbers for a bunch of guys that never won anything in their lives. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We sleep in May.
the way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
Howdy doo-doo-doo. Howdy doo-doo-doo. Oh, howdy doo-doo-doo-doo. Howdy doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Howdy doo-doo-doo, everybody. Good morning. Happy Friday to you. Target Demo Friday. Still don't know what the Friday meme is going to be from Andrew Kaplan. Whenever he unveils this, it always makes us laugh. We will let you know when that gets unveiled on both Facebook and on Twitter. That way you can weigh in and let us know where you are, how you're doing, how you're listening. And we'll read through those coming up here in the final hour of the show. As always, the DA show is available on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. On SiriusXM, channel 206. And stream us using the radio.com app. Or watch us at watchda.com. Whenever I see football coaches make the big bucks, I'm reminded of why they do all the crap that they do. You know, we know that living out a dream in sports is something that many of us would love to do, and so you could understand the athlete's side of things. You know, when you're young, a job in sports sounds amazing. Professional athlete, play a kid's game, do what you love to do, make a bunch of money doing it, be a celebrity doing it, travel the country to do it. That sounds pretty awesome to me, right? Especially with the cash. And we oftentimes see these stars go directly from high school, highly recruited to college, go from a big college to the NFL, make money right away. That sounds great to us. What we don't see is the flip side of that, which is coaches. And coaches that grind. And coaches that live pretty miserable lives that most of us would not sign up for. And they do this with the hope of a payday. They do this with the hope that one day down the road, this will pay off. I think about assistant coaches on staffs of small colleges. And they are trying to recruit two-star kids at facilities that are dated, trying to win games in front of a few thousand fans. And maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't, but they're lowest man of the totem pole at a pretty low rung anyway. And they're working ungodly hours. I mean, these guys, these coaches, and now there's women sprinkled in there as well, are working sometimes 20-hour days. They're dotting the map trying to recruit. They're trying to beg high school kids to like them. And they are trying to balance not seeing their family with not making a lot of money with the hope that their staff, because their head coach will get promoted or they've made a connection somewhere down the line, that they'll get a better job and they'll just have to uproot and move again. The wives of college coaches, coaches in general, they are saints because they have to take care of the family. They got to take care of the kids and they get uprooted every year or two with the hope of their husband's promotion because he's doing what he loves. It's brutal. Absolutely brutal. And so you wonder, man, what makes somebody go into that? Because you're working 20-hour days for 25 grand, and there's no guarantee you'll get anywhere because it's such a cutthroat competitive business. There's multiple people that want to work for that little, for that long. And again, I mean, think about how humiliating it is, emasculating, when you've got to beg high school kids to like you. And that's why yesterday in Austin, the money thrown around makes you realize why those guys do it. Steve Sarkisian just made $34 million guaranteed yesterday. And he's never won anything. $34 million for Steve Sarkisian over 6 years. So a little less than $6 million per season. 34 guaranteed. That's it. Ink is dry. He's going to make $34 million whether he wins a game or not. Doesn't have to win the Big 12. Doesn't he have to get to a Big 12 championship game? Doesn't have to beat Oklahoma. Doesn't have to play in a Cotton Bowl or a College football playoff, $34 million he just made. That's why you do it. But even more so, you say, well, DA, there's only a handful of coaches that can make that type of cash, right? How about his assistant coaches? The Regents at UT approved more than $21 million in guaranteed contracts for his staff. He's got $21 million to hand out to his staff. 21! Three of his assistant coaches are going to make more than $1 million annually, guaranteed for 3 years. So you don't even have to be the head coach. Now you got three guys on your staff making $1 million+ for the next 3 years. His defensive coordinator, who comes from Washington, highly touted, is going to make 1.7 per year. They also just ate $15 million on Tom Herman's contract. So Texas just, without even having the coach around, Tom Herman paid $15 million for him to leave, $34 million to Steve Sarkisian to be the head coach, and another $21 for his assistant coaches. But of course, there's no money. This is why you grind all those years. This is why you take crap jobs in crap towns on crap programs, because you just hope that if you make enough high school kids like you, you send out enough memes on Twitter, you visit enough moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and cousins, and you go to podunk towns across the country, just try to make sure that one kid comes and that you beat your rival Tech on homecoming. One day you too can make more than $1 million and not even be the head coach. That's why you do it. But I got to say, for Sark, man, this is quite the bet. Steve Sarkisian's never won his conference. In fact, this is a guy that's not much over 500 in his career in conference. This is a guy that's never even finished higher than second in his own division. Here's his finishes in Washington. Took over a bad program, no doubt, finished 7th at 5-7. Then finished tied for 3rd in a Holiday Bowl, finished 3rd of the North with an Alamo Bowl, finished 4th of the North with a Mexico, with a Mako Bowl, not a Mexico Bowl, and finished 3rd in 2013, his final go-round in Seattle, in the Fight Hunger Bowl. Again, that's his finishes. No better than 3rd. When he moves over to USC, his only full season there, he ties for 2nd in the South in a Holiday Bowl. Then the next season gets unceremoniously dumped just 5 games in because of the alcohol abuse and him acting like a fool for USC. In his entire coaching career, he's never even won his division. He's finished in the top 25 only twice. He's never even coached in a conference title game. His best bowl game is a Holiday Bowl. And the man just made $34 million and has had to battle alcoholism. This is nothing against his personal life. I understand addiction. Alcoholism has run in my family before with my grandfather and my uncle, so I get it. But at the same time, can you believe that guy can earn $34 million? That guy. That's a big gamble for UT and a program that doesn't want to finish in third place in the Big 12. When we come back here on the DA Show, Deshaun Watson spoke to his new head coach. Is there any new news in Houston?
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.